Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Hey, sir, again. All right, dear gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast, folks. This is the first in our three-episode Distillers series. To give the heads up, I watched a great documentary on Hulu called Neat. It was about bourbon. We'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute and why I love this documentary so much and what I got out of it. But I decided to reach out to some folks on Facebook and on LinkedIn, and I said, hey, if you know a distiller, let me know who it is. Give me a heads up. And these gentlemen right here are the first. They are New Scotland Distillery, and this is going to work out great. So I'll let them introduce themselves and tell a little bit about their distillery. But you guys, just I'll put this out first thing. You guys actually haven't made the first bottle yet. It's cast, but not bottled yet. Do I understand that right?
Yes and no. So we have done our first bottling. It's actually, it's called 68W whiskey. And yeah, we both have it here. And
I got a bottle of that.
So that certainly in the near months, yeah, we definitely have to get you one. So we haven't sold it yet, but we did do our first bottling to kind of go through the entire process. And we'll be ready to go with that this coming summer. That along with our single malt. So it's called Helleborg single malt whiskey. And that's been aging for 4 years. So we're going to release these two as our first releases this summer.
So this summer they're going to release.
Yeah. And it coincides with Jesse exiting the military after 10 years. So he can probably speak about that and why we're launching at that time. It's all about when he leaves.
One of my buddies said, I need finally to explore beyond Telemardu. Look, I'm doing the whole entire distiller series, Chris. Maybe I will explore beyond it, but you know, it's like all things, you know what you know. I like Telemardu. I drank Jameson for a long ass time too. I like that.
Well, then so, we definitely have to get you some 68W.
I'm all about it. We'll put it right on it. I'm going to ask you a question about it because I noticed something. Now, I'm going to have to ask Jesse a really important question here in a moment. Do you know what Army stands for?
Do I know what Army stands for?
Yeah.
I don't know what Army stands for. Please tell me.
Aren't ready for Marines yet.
I missed it.
You know, I had a suspicion
aren't
that
aren't
I should
ready
be
for Marines yet.
There we go.
I mean, what I have to say that I'm impressed about, I am very impressed, Sean, that you were able to come up with an acronym. My understanding was that Marines weren't all that proficient in reading.
Yeah, we don't do that shit. I'm not real good with it. I save my reading for when it's really necessary. Anybody who actually knows me will tell you I read comic books, and a lot of them. I have about $160 a month comic book habit. Okay. So, look, that's the face my wife makes when I say the same thing there, Patrick. And I'm like, I read a lot of comics. Well, how much? And I tell her, and she's like, it's my thing. I enjoy the shit. I get into it. But now you held that 68. You said it's a whiskey.
Yeah, so it is. That's probably a great point. Yeah, and Jesse can talk about it.
Right, so talk to me about, like, because I want to get into
clear
how you got into this
whole thing.
So it's clear.
It is, yeah, and I'm drinking it. So it's this isn't water. Actually, this goes first off. I think it's important if Jesse talks about what 68W is and kind of the theory or kind of the story behind the name and actually how it's a little bit differentiated from the other spirits we're going to come out with. But the most important part about it is that it is unaged American corn whiskey. And we're highlighting how you can really change your mind about what a clear unaged spirit is. in comparison to all of the aged spirits that, you know, like you're drinking. I think coming from an Irish whiskey, which is tends to be lighter and fruitier and is triple distilled, gives it a little bit of that smoother character. I think going into this actually is a great transition. And we really want to change people's minds about what unaged corn whiskey can be compared to what they think of as traditional moonshine, which is something that's generally speaking super high proof. It's going to burn your mouth. And for most people, it's not something you want to drink.
That would be so, this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Nanny's Hot Apple Pie.
Okay.
That's my stepmother's recipe. And that's pure grain in there.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay. This is as far as I get. Well, I'll lie. I do have my, and there's a whole story I've said it many times. I do have down here the Kahlua that my father got the recipe from my mother's best friend, but a Kahlua recipe that's pure grain also. That's as far as I get. Wow. I'll mix other people's shit, but I'm not getting at the level that you are. So,
yeah.
So what's the 68W? So what is 68W?
Yeah, so I'll hold it up and then Jesse can talk about it.
Yeah, so Sean, here's the first thing you need to understand about whiskey. What makes a spirit a whiskey is the law, right? Whiskey has legal definitions that are codified in the Code of Federal Regulations, and that's why you know that you have a spirit that is whiskey because it meets certain criteria. The proof that it comes off the still, the proof that you put it into the barrel. There's a lot of specific requirements that make an alcohol something called called a whiskey. Okay. One specific type of whiskey is corn whiskey. Corn whiskey is a whiskey that is unaged. It's the only type of whiskey that is, by definition, by legal definition, not supposed to be aged. Every other whiskey has to be aged in charred new oak barrels. But a corn whiskey has predominantly two criteria. One, it has to be concocted from a mash of 80% corn. And number two, it can't be aged. It does run through an oak barrel, but I'm talking it kisses it for 24 hours, even 15 minutes. That's how they call it a whiskey. But nonetheless, by the Code of Federal Regulations, say that this is an unaged corn whiskey. It's the only type of grain that gets its own distinction like that. And the reason, Sean, the reason it gets that premier placement is because if you're drinking a bourbon, and we're going to get into a bit of our bias towards rye and whatnot in a second, but if you're drinking a bourbon, consider that a lot of what you're drinking in that Buffalo Trace is in fact the taste of the barrel.
Right.
Bourbon is 51% corn, minimum 51% corn. You could have a bourbon that, like a corn whiskey, is 80% corn, but a bourbon is then going to be aged, right? Straight bourbon is 2 years, bottled and bond, if you can talk about it, that's 4 years. The point is that when you're drinking that Buffalo Trace, you're drinking the barrel. And sometimes that's great. But what's very interesting about what we've done with our, it's the only brand we're doing this with, at least right now, we wanted to be able to show our loyal fans, our, you know, intended customers,
cheers,
we wanted to show them what grain from New Scotland tastes like. And I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I'll give you kind of a quick little background and then I'll shut up.
Yeah, no, I want, Pat, see, this is what I want to hear. Because one of the big things I wanted you guys on first was, you guys are stepping into this shit and you're Nick the New Guys, you know, shower shoe boot, whatever you want to call it. You're Nick the New Guy.
And we've been doing it for 4 years. That's the funny part.
And I'll tell you, and you brought up some, Jesse. So give me your story. Cause you brought up the bourbon thing. And that's where this all comes from, is that one documentary. I have a bad rabbit hole habit. Once I'm in that sumbitch, I got to get it all.
Okay, well, let's go a little bit in reverse and finish off what has turned out to be, I would say, my second favorite spirit is legit corn whiskey. This brand is called 68 Whiskey. And given that it's 68W, you obviously, Sean, are going to be familiar with the fact that we're using the phonetic spelling. 68 Whiskey, as you can see on the bottle, is the MOS, the military occupational specialty, for an Army combat medic. And okay. I was in Iraq, and I was just blown away by the critical role that our Army combat medics were playing. I became aware of their MOS. It's probably the first time that I ever really thought about it. We All looked right. up the trademark. It wasn't trademarked, so we shot in a trademark for it. And in a second, because I just so love the sound of my own voice, I'll give you a quick little survey of
you
of
and me
the
both.
Of the label. Well, if you would indulge me, and before I get into like, and Pat and I can jump in and talk about what New Scotland Spirits is, I just want to give you a very quick rundown of how we are using this bottle, which through our partnership with the Hidden Battles Foundation, which is an organization that, among other mental health issues, treats alcoholism in veterans and first responders. We're trying to take the fact that, like, I mean, you know how green suitors are. They can kick them back. And we wanted to power that towards helping people who come back from war zones or other, let's just kind of call it euphemistically, high stress environments, and sometimes start self-medicating in a way that can be dangerous. So without further ado, reading off the bottle, the label here, known as a 68 whiskey, the Army combat medic braves the bullets and bombs to fix our wounded on the front lines, offering America's warriors one final hope. It's because of the 68 whiskey that a soldier lives to fight another day or returns to the loved ones waiting anxiously back home. That's why New Scotland Spirits presents 68 whiskey. Grown and pot distilled entirely in New York State, this premium American corn whiskey honors all our veterans and is presented to them in recognition of their many sacrifices. Welcome home, boys and girls. You made it. And since you're no longer subject to General Order Number 1, drink responsibly, freely, and for friendships forged in fire. That's 68 whiskey. And thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Cheers to that. And Sean, the thing that's, you know, why this is so kind of near and dear to me personally, beyond just the Army nexus, you know, Pat's father is a veteran. You know, this is in fact an additional story, right? This is the story of, and Pat, forgive me for getting rather romantic for a second. Pat is my oldest friend.
Snuggle away.
From the town of New Scotland. It's going to get really hot in here because, in fact, Pat is, you know what, I've known him. I think I've known Pat longer than some of my siblings. And when we were, you know, coming up through the town of New Scotland, you know, we had this thought we'd be drinking, or we would not be drinking underage. Let's say that we would not be drinking underage. And we would talk about how we one day wanted to create a spirit distilled from grains grown in our upstate rural farming town. And it took us 20 years to bring that to fruition, but that's what we've done. When you're talking about 68 whiskey, the corn that's in here, that's from the millers right up the street at Limekiln Farm. When you're talking about our premium single malt, that's 100% barley from Indian Ladder Farms, the other farm right down the road.
I love Indian Ladder.
Yeah, it's a great brewery. You
know, oh, yeah. Yeah. Bro, course.
I live in Central Brunswick. My kids go to Shaker and Tamarack.
Okay, yeah, well then, in that case, I really hope that you're going to be first in line to taste a little more of what is basically your hometown too.
Oh yeah, here's our single malt.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a little. You can see the Albany skyline down in the background. Let me get this going here.
Oh, is that? Oh, that's beautiful. That's from the Rensselaer side.
It's essentially, yeah. Well, no. Well,
interestingly enough, eye. God, you're so astute, Sean. Here's what's really funny: the direction of the Corning Tower is actually from the New Scotland side. That's what you can see from my hayfield. But
oh, okay.
We had to present it more as though it's from the Rensselaer side so that you could get the full flavor of all the buildings. So we took a little artistic license, but okay. Let's put it this way. If you can't recognize the Albany skyline, you're not an Albanite. Get the hell out of town.
Well, I remember the first time I came to Albany and we saw the egg and I was like, what the hell is this spaceship thing? If you've never been to Albany, folks, like we have this very fancy dancy, you know, you go see shows and stuff. My wife and I saw Ben Folds there. It was amazing. But it looks like a friggin' spaceship in the middle of the city for no reason. There's no reason for it, but it looks like a big ass spaceship in the middle of our city.
Yeah, I went to a comedy show in the first week of March 2020. And literally everybody is like, and the comedians are saying, so are we going to like die tomorrow? You know, we had no idea what was going to be coming, but it's a great venue to go to if you can make it there.
We saw Ben Folds there. I tell people all the time. So if I could move back to North Carolina, I would tomorrow. My wife knows this. I'll probably get a message in a minute that says you can leave now if you'd like. Because my wife is from this area. She's from Cohoes area. That's where she grew up. I grew up in Baltimore. As you can hear this accent, this is not an Albany accent. I know how to say elementary and I know how to say Stewart's. If you ever come to this area, folks, and people say I'm lying, I call my children's school and they're like, thank you for calling the Forts Ferry Elementary School. I'm like, what the hell's an elementary? It's a whole
thing. I don't remember that.
Oh, that's like, and even my youngest, or not my youngest, but one of my sons was born here and he can't say Stewart's. He's like Stewart's. Like there's an emphasis on weird letters. So now, were you guys able to back to the distillery? Because we can talk about the silliness that matters to no one else around here but us. And I'm completely okay with that. But now, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because as you're mentioning all this stuff, that means you got in under the wire for the New York distiller's license for $1,000 then?
Jesse could probably answer that. So because we're so small, we have what's called a farm distiller's license.
Okay. Now what's that?
Which means, Jesse, you can definitely correct me here. It's, we have to use 75% New York State, ingredients. Of course, we use 100% New York State ingredients, and even down to the barrels we buy from New York State. We use Adirondack cooperage, for barrel cooperage for our barrels. And you know, obviously we do everything within the state. Other people just have to do 75%. And then with that, you get a lot of advantages. Like you're able to sell directly to the consumer. You're also able to, you know, go to farmers markets, and there's other perks to being a small distillery.
So that's that license then. Cause I ran into this. So I'm going to make you an offer right now. I have my accidental apple orchard. I call it the accidental apple orchard. I had every intention of only planting 5 apple trees this year because we had a big oak that fell last year. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna plant these apple trees. So if you need some apples, I'm going to be probably within the next year or so, I'm going to have such a shit ton. So what happened was I planted, I ordered the 5 apple trees and I was like, oh, these would be fine. 5 apple trees. Well, they showed up. You ever seen sticks in a box? Like when you buy like berry bushes, it's just like a stick sticking out. Well, I go over to Home Depot. I'm like, I paid for this. Like they showed up at my house. I'm like, I ordered them online. Well, the guy was great at Home Depot. For people who have no idea, it was the Home Depot at Latham Farms. So nobody else knows what the fuck that is.
Well, we one of the things we've kicked around is, Jesse, I'll leave it up to you if you want to talk about
that. Don't leave shit up to him. He's in the Army. No, I need somebody to handle it.
Branding and whatever, but we do want to do a brandy, and especially, you know, if we could use something from your trees, that's awesome, but you know, Indian Ladder is well known for their apple picking and the apple orchards in Altamont. And so we always kicked around the idea of doing an apple brandy. Obviously, there's other people that do that. And as you probably know, the first step to doing that is making cider. So it's kind of a long process. It's more involved than just making even whiskey, because you have to really, you want to make a good cider first. A good tasting cider will then eventually go on to be a good brandy after you distill it. So it's an extra step. It's certainly something we have plans to do.
Let me jump in there real quick, Pat.
Listen, Jesse, I know it's you're in the army. I got to talk a little slower. Just stay with me. I'm going to catch so much heat. I'm waiting for Rob Vandenberg to say something because Rob was in the army. But Chris, you know, what the hell is the name of the my wife has been so kind as to bring me a new cup of ice and everything. But God, what the hell is the name? Grafton. Chris lives like doors away from the entrance to Grafton. His family owns like a big monster farm area in this area. So look, you're talking to the right people right now. Look, there it is. Stop picking on the army. But yeah, man, like, God, this is, see, I'm enjoying, like, this is so cool to me because I'm like, this is like, I love the fact that you guys are like, you're not fucking 65-year-old men talking about like, oh, my granddaddy once brewed this and I'm going to go ahead and make it myself. Like,
well, yeah, this I mean, is it's different. Definitely different. Yeah, it's definitely different. And even people within the industry, you know, there's a lot of younger people. I wouldn't say we're exactly young anymore, but you know, and certainly we're younger when we started this venture. But you know, yeah, it's not all super old people. It's because, you know, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of barriers to entry in this field. With the legality behind it. You know,
what are you running into?
Well, let me take a step back. I can tell you a little bit more about our history, and then it'll help kind of explain some of the trials and tribulations we've gone through. You know, Jesse and I have known each other since, you know, a really long time. You know, all throughout in Voorheesville,
first grade,
go to the same school. You know, for K through 12. You know all the same people. And we did a lot of creative ventures while we were growing up. We did an underground newspaper. Then we went legitimate and we took over the school newspaper. In college, we had a syndicated radio show that we both did in our prospective colleges. We also did a radio show out of RPI over the summertime. Nice. And so we've done all these ventures, creative ventures over time. But I moved out west for, you know, kind of starting a career in product design of my own. But I was living in San Diego for a long time, and it just so happened to be that it was during the burgeoning time of the craft beer world, you know, in the mid 2000s to, you know, 2007 to 2012 or so, when I lived there. And, you know, I knew about Stone and Ballast Point, you know, really before every other part of the country did. And those are, you know, some of the people that were really pushing limits and getting things going with the craft beer world. And not only was I getting into it and people that lived there were getting into it, but I also really got into home brewing. And started doing a lot of home brewing. You know, it's kind of an extension of my background of being in science, and I have an engineering degree. And so it's something I really like doing, but it's also something that's hands-on and it's craft. And it's something I still do to this day, even though we're kind of have a legitimate spirits business. And because of, you know, what I saw in the craft beer world, I knew that, you know, no offense to the East Coast and to the, you know, Albany area and stuff. It just was behind the times of completely. What was happening on the West Coast.
Where was that?
And I don't mean that in a negative way. In fact, I saw it as a positive that we could bring, you know, stuff, you know, out there. I joke around with Jesse that, you know, in the West Coast, the crummiest taco place around here would be probably the biggest hit in Albany. Just because I don't really understand why, but there's so many of those types of restaurants out here, and there isn't any, you know, there aren't too many in Albany. And so I wanted to bring some of that back. And we explored the idea of doing a brewery and getting more into beer. We knew it just wasn't feasible. While we were both trying to, you know, make money and have our own careers at the same time, Jesse was in the army and it just wasn't feasible. What we did find that would be feasible is that we could do the spirits business almost remotely. And so I don't know if we have an official term on what we did it, but what we call it, but what kind of sets us apart from a lot of other people is that we operate this business kind of remotely, mostly remotely until Jesse is out of the army and he's there full time. I'll be there back and forth as well. And so we do that through utilizing a lot of different partners. Part of what I do for my own occupation is I'm heavily involved in product design, and I communicate and operate with a lot of different different suppliers of products and working through supply chains. And so going into this type of work, sort of side business at the time was just a natural extension. And what we found as we were trying to get into it, the way we first approached it was that we thought, well, we can just kind of partner with an operating distillery, and we can just provide them the labels, and then we'll pay them. And then at the end of the day, when it's all aged and bottled, we'll just take it and we'll sell it. And what we quickly found out is that's completely illegal. So anybody that's wants to be involved.
What about that is illegal?
So it all really goes back to taxes, really is the beginning of it. And so if you gotta think about the biggest thing about the alcohol business is that, and largely in part, it's the honor system. But it's an honor system that potentially, leads to lots of taxes that the government wants. And so in order to be even affiliated with an alcohol business, you can't have any type of fraud in your history. Literally, and I'm almost serious about this, you could have committed murder in your past and you will get a liquor license just as long as you didn't commit fraud. And so these are the things, but it's important that you are on the books and that you're approved by the government agencies, both through the federal TTB and then also the state liquor authority as well. And so even when we're trying to bring on investors and bring people into the business, it's a very lengthy process that they have to be approved in the business. So, when we first wanted to get into this, I contacted probably almost 40 different distilleries to start talking about doing what we wanted to do, which was inevitably taking grains from our hometown and working our own recipes and working with a distillery to make our spirits. And so I talked with a lot of people, and basically we kind of got the same, even people who had been in the industry didn't know the law all that much. There are a lot of maybe even loopholes you can go in, but certainly people don't know, people don't know the yeses and nos of the law, meaning they might know what they're able to do, but they don't really know what you're not able to do. So even what we're doing today and how we operate, people told us a couple of years ago or 3 or 4 years ago, Jesse, that we couldn't do what we wanted to do. And it wasn't anything negative against them. It was just that they didn't know the law enough. We first started, I don't want to bring up the name just yet, but we first started working with a distillery, and we thought, well, we can just supply them with the labels. And then maybe a few years down the road, we'll buy the spirits from them and sell it. And I'm glad we didn't go further down that path because it just wasn't legal. So as we got more into it, Jesse, you can talk about, if you want to talk about Albany Distilling a little bit, so, the portion there.
So kind of bringing things back to the fact that this is a community effort, the proprietor of Albany Distilling Company is a guy by the name of John Curtin, who I'm pretty sure, I think he may have kicked us out of a party about 25 years ago. I can't quite remember. But point is that he grew up in the town next to us. And, and we knew John. We got much closer to him as we started asking him, hey, look, this is what we're trying to do. We want to celebrate our hometown by taking grain and turning it into something that people can drink. And what we realized is that Albany Distilling Company, they essentially became our distillery. And we did that through what's called an alternating proprietor agreement. When we filed for our license as a distillery, we are a Class D farm distillery. And what that means is that Albany Distilling Company has very graciously opened their facility up to us. And when they are making our product, our brands, we, under this weird legal fiction, we essentially own that distillery. So Albany Distilling Company is like the home team, and they have been, they've been just an absolute lifeline, because as you can kind of tell, Pat's responsibility has largely been to set up the supply chain, identify where we're going to get these grains, get them shipped, get them mashed, get them malted if need be.
Even getting tested. So we get the single grains. Malt. We have to make sure the grains are even viable. So we first. What is
that? Okay.
The grains can't have.
What does that mean?
Can't have over. So when you're making grains, they have to be under a certain amount of moisture content in them. So Cornell actually has a lab, so they'll measure it for moisture content. It's one of the biggest things with our farms in particular. We're trying to get them to go from just growing corn for and barley for feed, not necessarily barley, but certainly corn and rye for feed, to what's called value-added crops. So, you know, using it for getting it ready for breweries and distilleries. But there's extra work and processing involved in it. Oftentimes it's not viable for us. So it has to be thrown away.
Wait, we should be clear about something. We should be clear about the fact that you could take any grain. You could take a pair of your old leather shoes and you could distill it into whiskey. Or the reason why we are so focused on quality is that, look, this is our hometown, right? This is New Scotland Spirits. We want to make sure that when you are tasting our spirit, you're tasting the grain. It has to be premium. It has to be good, because otherwise it's like, you know, frankly, I would get a little self-conscious about it. I don't want people to talk shit about what we're putting out there. We actually believe, and Pat, you know, Pat is, he's been monitoring our single malt as it's been aging. And to be clear, right now we have barrels of bourbon, barrels of rye, barrels of single malt. He's been, obsessively monitoring that because, and I know that this, understandably, you're going to think it's biased, but it happens to be friggin' true. We have the best single malt in New York State. Our rye whiskey, we have the best rye whiskey in New York State. And I know that the bourbon, we'll talk about that in a second. But let me just say something about rye whiskey. Bourbon. All right, got it. You know, Pat and I have put together a line called the Helderberg Spirits line. It's got your single malt. It's got two different lines of bourbon, and then it's got a rye whiskey. Here's the thing. Bourbon has become
it's hipster.
It was basically like what happened was the Confederacy in their last stand, they snuck something through Congress, and they had bourbon declared as America's official spirit. That literally is a law, okay?
1968 or something like that.
That's exactly right. So here's the thing, though. In early times, in the beginning of America, it was all about rye whiskey. And New York State was all about rye whiskey. And what we say is, look, the only thing that I like more than this corn whiskey that we've put a lot of our heart and soul into is a rye whiskey. I like that peppery taste. I like that it's spicy. I like that it bites a little bit. Everyone in the world loves their bourbon. And so we are accommodating that by putting out two very quality bourbons. But the point is that we wanted to make sure that if you're going to taste a rye whiskey and it's from New York, you think of us as the rye whiskey because it's awesome. And that was like a last stand for us. We're planting our flag in the fact that you are not going to drink better whiskey. I don't care what qualifier it is, rye, bourbon, single malt. If you're tasting whiskey and it's not coming from upstate New York, you're wasting your money and you're wasting our time.
Well, there's a designator called, I don't know if you know, Sean, about Empire Rye.
No, never heard it.
You know, it's a what do you call it, Jesse? It's a movement or so to classify New York State rye versus others. And it's called Empire Rye. And the qualifications behind it it has to be 75% New York State rye, Jesse.
That's right. And we've got right now. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, of course, made in New York State as well, but we're, of course, 100% New York State grains. So,
okay, couple of quick things here. So, Tim has determined that Jesse, you're up to number five drink wise. So, just so you know, I just want to put that fucking distinction out there that you're up to number five. And I do appreciate the fact that You're not a mixer. You drink your whiskey and then have a drink of soda. So it's like separating the plates.
Wait, we need to be clear about this. This is because I was just on an exercise where I burned in and I'm just trying to hydrate. I don't chase anything because otherwise you are taking your palate and it's basically like, and I hope you don't mind the use of the profanity, it's basically like you're shitting in your mouth. If you're going to drink something that's mixed, I've got some Jack Daniels for you. I literally keep it in my liquor cabinet for people that want to put a bunch of Coca-Cola in it. I want you to taste what we put out.
Please read that. Oh, Patrick, read that right now.
Jesse, are you from the World Wrestling Federation? WWE now. Oh, this is nothing. This is nothing. I mean, imagine my phone calls behind the scenes.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. Now this.
I'll say just real quick. If you wanna really hear Jesse, maybe at his best. I don't know. This is probably 5 years ago at this point. There's a joint forces meeting about, you know, like a really serious topic, abuse and whatnot. And it's a couple hours long video. You know, he's got like a 3-star general sitting 2 rows behind him who's sleeping while Jesse's talking.
Oh God,
that's the funniest part. But there's one point when somebody from the panel asked Jesse to just really quick, I want to ask blah, blah, blah. And Jesse responded with a 14 or 15 minute response. It may have even been almost 20 minutes. And she said, can you briefly respond?
now, Chris has a great question. And again, so your whiskey, and I know we're focused on the whiskey right now. It's a clear rye whiskey, right? Rye?
Corn
whiskey. Okay.
The 68's corn. Yeah.
68's corn.
100%.
But it, as somebody who, again, I'm drinking Jameson, I'm drinking Telemardu, I'm drinking aged Irish whiskeys, where would I put this at compared to a Jameson or a Jack Daniel? Where am I putting this?
Yeah, I can speak to that. So, you know, one of the reasons why I kind of got into this whole business is because I found kind of a common, you know, kinship with my father, who was getting into whiskeys as well, kind of around the same time. And of course, we both like Jameson, and I started going into the, you know, catalog of Jamesons and their, you know, all the different ones they come out with now. Of course, they have lots of flavored ones, but the 12-year, I really like. The 18 is pretty good too. I could probably go on and on about Jameson. I would say I've learned recently that it's mixed with neutral grain spirit. And, you know, as I become, you know, it's almost a vodka.
Really?
It's aged as well and then mixed, but it's basically a way for them to increase yield in what they make. And, you know, it's still a great product. I'm not going to say anything bad about it. I've even been there, you know, I've been to Guinness and Jameson, travels abroad. So I would say, you know, for anybody who's getting into whiskey, let's take, you know, of course, bourbon's always a great way to start, but I would even go one step the other way and say Irish whiskeys are really good because they use, you know, they don't just use a lot of corn, they use other cereal grains as well in there. They triple distill it, which makes it a little bit lighter, a little bit more fruity, and there isn't as much of a harsh bite to it. So anybody who likes that, I mean, I even think Jameson's a little bit more on the stronger note. You know, Tullamore is good. I definitely like that. And
motherfuckers will sponsor.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I was saying. Yeah,
that's some bitch can sponsor, brother. Hey.
Oh, all right. I can deal with that. I think if you're in that spot and you're used to those types of the Irish spirits, the 68 whiskey is a really natural progression. And so that's what I was saying. It, you know, we definitely want to take opportunities like this to kind of educate a little bit more about what corn whiskey can be, because people think of moonshine when they see a clear spirit and they think it's terrible. It's harsh and it's going to burn. And so I have some here, and, you know, I'll say what I say to, you know, other people is you're going to smell it and it's going to smell maybe a little bit harsh, but then you take a sip of it and it's really smooth and you're going to taste a little bit of a spicy note, but you're also going to be tasting the, you know, a little bit of cinnamon, clove. But what you're going to taste is the nuance of the corn from the distillation. And once you taste that, you're going to have a really good, you know, like ground point on your palate for what's in other whiskeys. You're going to all of a sudden know, once you've tasted a corn whiskey, that's 100% corn. Then when you go on to an Irish whiskey or even a bourbon, you're going to say, wow, I can tell that one has more corn in it, or that one has less in it. You know, you just won't know until you've tasted something that's 100% corn or 100% rye. And that's what we're going to showcase too, especially with our first two spirits that come out. We're running the gamut. We're coming out with the 68 whiskey, you know, first, that's unaged whiskey. And then we're coming out with the single malt Helderberg whiskey, which is going to be at that point 4 years old. So what we like to say is you're going to be able to taste these two side by side and say, look, besides the fact that it is different grains, the single malt's barley, but you're going to be able to taste the influence of the barrel as well and just see how much of a difference it really has in it. So, but we want to make sure that we're not making a really harsh spirit. The 68 corn whiskey is really easy to drink. It's deceptively easy to drink. And we did that. It's, you know, a lower proof, you know, it's 41 proof or so. So, yeah, it, you know, it can sneak up on you a little bit, but it's not what you think of moonshine. And, you know, that's what we'll be trying to let people know, is we want to bring something new. We're almost creating a new segment of whiskey by bringing that to market.
Now, so it's a lower proof whiskey.
It's still within the confines of whiskey. It's 41%. So actually, some of people's favorite whiskeys out there are typically 40%. Okay. And that's twofold, right? That's one reason is because they get more yield out of it. They are able to make more product because they're, you know, watering it down. The lowest threshold.
Oh, hold up. Yeah. Pat, I got to interrupt. Mike Cavanaugh is listening to us right now. What up, Mike?
So Mike is a good buddy of mine. I just saw that. I had to put that up there for you. Mike was on my test show Cavanaugh. The other day. Is he not the biggest son of a bitch in the world? God, yeah. He's such a large bastard.
Well, you'd have to ask the people he wrestled against in high school. They would say that he was the biggest son of a bitch, and I feel so bad for anyone who stepped on the mats with that guy.
So you know what's so funny? So you grab Mike out of this, because I had to throw that up there when Mike sent that message. So I've known Mike has a cousin who's my real estate agent that I've done real estate deals with, and they're all them fucking Cavanaughs, all of them. His cousin Chris, they're all giant son of a bitches. They're big as every one of them's big as a house. There ain't a one of them under 6'4". So just know that this is a fact, that there's not one of them. Look, Chris Hewitt. So Chris worked with, we all worked together at my other life. Who the hell is dumb enough to wrestle Mike? It's all midget wrestling. He only wrestles midgets. That's it. That's his only people.
Hey, Sean, you know what? Let me say something real quick, because I think this is like so epitomizes what we're trying to do. So, you know, it's like, obviously we want to put out a quality product for everyone to enjoy, associate with New York spirits. But for someone like Mike, who is literally growing up on the fields from which we source our grain, he is drinking New Scotland, right? His hometown in New Scotland. When we started this, the reality was, this has kind of evolved into a business because Pat and I really became passionate about it the more we learned. But originally, this was designed for our neighbors, our family, our friends, because we felt such hometown pride about that little corner of the planet. When you're talking about, you know, let's just say Jack Daniels. I know it's easy to make fun of Jack Daniels, but I'm going to use them as a case.
Number one whiskey.
The world.
Yeah.
Right. The fact is, what you are drinking is it's straight off the industrial manufacturing plant. When we are putting stuff out on shelves in about 6 months to a year, what you're going to be drinking is small batch, single barrel bourbon, small batch, single barrel rye, small batch, single barrel, single malt. The point of what we're trying to do is say everything, every bottle that you're tasting, going back to my part about you better not mix anything in our whiskey. It's we put a lot of our heart and soul in this. We put a lot of heart and soul in this. You're literally tasting the grain. You're tasting the fine craftsmanship. That's why this single batch whiskey, the small batch whiskey, craft spirits, that's why it's kind of taking the place by storm. Because a lot of people out there, if they're trying to drink to get drunk, you can order your Jack Daniels. But if you're trying to drink because you like it, you like the flavor palette, then you want to look at a craft spirits outfit. And obviously, you know, we want to be the ones that receive those people with open arms and say, if you want something that's going to taste utterly amazing, unrivaled even, you got to check out New Scotland Spirits.
What's the fight for New Scotland whiskey? Do you know what Mike's talking about? Mike said, I heard about the fight for New Scotland whiskey.
Oh,
what is that?
Oh my God. Mike is he, it's like we planted him so he can ask a question. I'll tell you exactly what it is.
No shit. I can tell already. There's no doubt. Look, he's cracking his neck and shit. Pat, if you're in danger, let me know now.
No,
Pat and I
stay as far away as possible.
We decided we wanted to put out a whiskey. Okay. And we decided to file for Springworks. We put up a website.
Start off with that.
Just a single malt. And next thing we know, Patrick and I are the recipients of a cease and desist followed by a lawsuit in the Trial and Trademark Appeal Board by the Scotch Whiskey Association, which is the trade group out of the
$1.5 billion organization.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
Here's the thing.
Oh, hey.
Come on, bitches.
David versus Goliath.
Here's the thing. What they didn't realize is New Scots are a hardy breed. We left Scotland. It wasn't good enough. And when we said, all right, you know what? Like, I got it. We don't want people to think that we are a product of Scotland. We want people to know that we are an American spirit from New Scotland. And after, goodness, three and a half years, we finally came to an agreement whereby we, as we've always done, make it very clear we are not Scotch. We are not a product of Scotland. What we are New Scotland spirits, spirits from the jurisdiction of the town of New Scotland in upstate New York. We are proud of that. And to their credit, I think the Scotch Whiskey Association realized that it didn't work out all that well the last time an entity from the United Kingdom tried to screw with the beverages that we Americans like to drink. And so to avoid another Boston Tea Party, they just stepped back and said, fine, have your New Scotland spirits. And so in answer to your question, Michael, New Scotland spirits is here to stay. Thank you so much for feeding us that.
Yeah, we've been on the news a lot with, you know, talking about this lawsuit and, you know, everything that we've gone through with it. But we're really proud that we, in my opinion, we won. We won the battle. We wore them down over many, many years. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we got what is rightfully ours. We're able to make a spirit from the town that we hail from. You know, how dare they say that we can't call our spirits New Scotland spirits? You know, it has the word New has the word Scotland in it.
Right.
But it's not the same thing. It's a different country. We're not making Scotch. You know, we make that really clear. We are making a single malt, but it's not smoky. It's not something your grandfather drinks. You're really going to taste the barley. And that's what we're really showcasing. More importantly, it's the taste of New Scotland and the taste of the Helderbergs as well. So that's what we're bringing to market.
Jesse, I need you to read that right now. starting at Tim put it up there. I need you to read that in your best WWE voice right now.
Right Please now. Try New Scotland whiskey, and then I'm gonna pound you into the mat, brother, making me Intercontinental Champion of the World.
The veins are popping.
Yeah. Look, that must be an upstate New York thing because my wife's got that same V shep vein. And I tell her all the time, if she keeps messing with him, I'm gonna poke her in it and shut her right down. Now the look, I mean, everybody it's on here. Like, I'm getting a lot of people popping on, staying on for a long bit. When are we gonna be able to go? When am I gonna be able to go to Route 9 Liquors or one of the big boys out here and grab me a bottle of this? When am I going to be able to do that?
Well, it's here, Jesse, I'll start it and you can finish it. So first off, because of COVID, we've been afforded the luxury, you know, farm distillers especially, the luxury of being able to sell online and direct to people.
Even in New York?
Especially in New York.
Oh, really? See, I didn't think you could do that.
You know, New York is very restrictive in a lot of ways for, you know, certain things. I won't even go into all of that, but actually, yeah, especially guns. But when it comes to distilleries and more importantly, small distilleries, you know, the government's actually afforded us a lot of luxuries. And so we don't have to sell to a distributor. We can sell directly to a restaurant or a bar, but especially during COVID, we're able to sell online and direct. So in the next coming months, we're going to be able to do that selling directly. And I would suggest that's probably the easiest way to get our spirits. But when it comes to buying from a store and a farmer's market, that's where Jesse is going to be taking over in the near coming months. I will point out, especially with what he's wearing and the fact that he literally just did jump out of an airplane before he got on this podcast, is that he needs to exit the army first. And in doing so, they need to let him leave. Jesse, you can talk about that, but Jesse will be out and about, I would say probably by the summertime. And we'll be doing lots of tastings at farmers markets and then selling to stores, really just getting out to the public. And hopefully everybody else is getting out, you know, getting the vaccine and getting back out and, you know, being with people again too.
So I'll make you a promise right now. I'm gonna make you a deal. Big Mike needs the website, but I'm gonna make you a deal. If you want, this isn't like you have to or nothing like that, but if you want, you tell me the location. I didn't get a chance yet, and we'll do it right now. So our podcast just joined in with who I call the pod father, a friend of mine, DW, who's been podding for about 8 to 10 years, somewhere in there. He does a daily show.
Yep, I heard that episode.
You heard that episode. Love him to death. I wouldn't be doing this if it was, well, let me correct that. I wouldn't be doing this if my wife wouldn't have bought me this stuff, but I wouldn't be doing this if he wouldn't have had me on. But I'm gonna make you a promise. You tell me when and where, and when you're ready, whether it's a release kind of thing or whatever the deal is. And what I'll do is I'll bring my little bit of equipment and we'll bring the above the bar to wherever you're at, and we'll live show it. We'll put it out there. All four of my listeners can listen in, you know, it'll be a thing for all four of them. It'll be great. We'll make this happen, because what I love about the fact is that it's not just, well, we really felt passionate. This is my grandfather's recipe. I thought I could really get this out there. And, you know, everybody loved Pop Pop. He was great. You know, we're going to make this. No, you came up with this. This is y'all stuff. This is what you wanted to do. You have a passion about this. And this is, I love every bit of this. Now, you were talking about, I can order this online. Where am I going to find it at? What's the website?
Yeah. So our website is www.newscotlandspirits.com. Or if you really want to make sure that you are in the United States, newscotlandspirits.us. Either one of those will take you to our website. We don't have the store up and running just yet, But you can certainly learn about our main flagship spirits that we've are in, you know, already have produced and that are on the bill to be produced in the near coming months and years. And then learn more about Jesse and my backstory. And then about our team, because it doesn't happen without our team. You know, all of our partners that are involved with production and grain growing and our farmers. You can learn about everything from basically what we call farm to bottle or grain to glass, and just basically the whole, you know, story about what we do. And yeah, I appreciate the comments about us not being grandfathers. And also we really love this, this world. And basically I've been fortunate enough to go to some events in Albany and Schenectady, and there's a huge camaraderie of people that make craft spirits, you know, beer, wine, and liquor. And we really love it. And we can't wait to be, you know, a big player in that,
yeah,
in the world. Especially in upstate.
And on top of that, let me also just say that Sean, you know, like I'm obviously excited to share the spirits with you because it's going to be a taste you love. But I'm excited to share our spirits with a guy like Mike Cavanaugh because they're his. I think the thing that you've rightfully identified is that there's this concept when it comes to wine, even a little bit with beer, called the terroir of the taste. What we are putting out there is a product that is affiliated, associated with this part of the planet that is incredibly special to us. You know, Mike went to Serendipity Nursery School. I went to Serendipity Nursery School. When you go to New Scotland, you are from the very beginning, cradle to grave, like you are always a New Scot. And so this is for our hometown and for people who we hope are going to like our hometown, that what we're putting out there is going to be meaningful to them because it's so meaningful to us. And to your point, you know, you got interested in this off of a documentary.
Yeah,
there is so much to learn, and we're learning more and more every day. When you talk about,
when it comes
to apples, like we are, yeah, like we are learning so much about our history.
You know, the world of spirits in Albany, especially.
Huh.
Yeah, and Jesse, so sorry. Sorry, there's a delay.
You might have to. We've already figured it out that if you want to get a word in with Jesse, you just cut him the fuck off and be like, "Shut up, I'm gonna talk right now. You sit down. I'm gonna talk. It's my turn."
This is really a huge topic. You know, I mean, just talking about our story is one thing, and we could talk about that for over an hour. But you know, and then the legality. You know, we could talk all about that like at another time. But just talking about spirits and getting into spirits is another thing as well that we can talk about and everybody can talk about for, you know, a while. And part of what we're doing will be part, you know, education as well. I mean, just, you know, not to be cocky and condescending, but, you know, just in the fact of, you know, everybody can like different types of spirits and
right. We'll
be making lots of different ones. And I think what's going to separate us apart from others is that we're not going for volume. You know, we're not going to be competing against the Jack Daniels or even some of the bigger players in the craft spirits world. We're going to do a lot of smaller, much higher quality releases, you know, with a lot of creative spins on everything. So we're going to make our base spirits, you know, our rye whiskey or bourbons or corn whiskey, single malt, and then we'll be manipulating them maybe even a little bit more, make it more unique. And, you know, that kind of heralds back to my world of being a homebrewer and liking to always try different things when I'm homebrewing. I'm going to be doing the same thing with our spirits as well. And we even have some of that stuff in the works, like barrel-aged cocktails, which is a whole new thing that people are, you know, some people are starting to get into. And so we're really excited to do that. And then obviously we've been doing this in the planning for almost 4 years. So to be able to finally get to market is really something that we're five years now. something we're really looking forward to.
Put your hand up.
We've it was a huge accomplishment to bottle the 68 whiskey and finally go through that whole process this past fall. And you know, or January was it, well, no, I guess it was, yeah, last fall. So yeah,
I have to do this. So my niece, I would let you date my niece, but, and that's very important. Just understand that, but she's highly involved. So I would let either one of you date my niece. So there you go, Erica. I put Jesse. You on a shout out. You asked for it. I gave it to you. We're going to make sure we make sure that's the right scrolling across the bottom. That is New Scotland with only one T, spirits.com. Is that correct? Make sure that's correct for me. Make sure that's correct. Yeah. And I'll put that at the bottom of the podcast. That'll come up. So anybody wants to figure out what that is, that'll be there for you. We got Big Mike says that's going to be center on his bar. Good God knows how big that fucking bar is going to be for that son of a bitch. Just so you all know, Big Mike is like 275, 6 foot fucking 70 or some shit like that. But just understand, as a 5 foot eight Marine, I don't give a shit, Smokey. But you know, and I already know that Jesse's got to be the most. How many bottles have you given to your command, real quick? How many bottles?
Interestingly enough, they trust me, they're going to get inundated. But until this summer, I want to make sure that like we've got an array of the spirits, right? Like right now, we only have one.
You ain't giving them shit yet.
This coming summer, like nothing. Nothing. I'm gonna wait till my officer.
What's your EAS? What's your EAS? We'll give me the EAS.
What they warrant.
What's your EAS? What is it?
I'm not at liberty to give a specific date at this point.
All right. So we're not getting an EAS, ladies, because I know some of you are gonna watch this. In between, are both of you single? Because I'm just gonna fucking pimp you out right now for a moment. Anything?
I'll raise my hand here. Yes.
All right, Jesse is. There you go. Now you already know why he makes the whiskey, so that you'll talk to him.
And so, he's captain. We should say captain. And,
oh, you're an O too. You're an O.
I am.
Maybe even higher. We're trying to get him higher up too.
Wait a second. You're an O. That hurts my soul as a gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps E7. You're an O. Fucking O.
I am.
He's still jumping out of planes.
Oh, you're an O. Oh. Only the service members listening to this will understand he's an O. Oh. Oh. Oh, that's so great. That just made this even more interesting to me because I swore to you on all that was holy, you were like a fucking sergeant or a staff sergeant. God, tell me you bummed a cigarette off of some fucking Lance Corporal somewhere.
I actually gave a lawful order that they give me a cigarette. So that's how that works.
Oh, that's so amazing. Oh, that's so amazing. Oh, I love every bit of this. This is just, look, Rob, I'm not stopping picking on shit and I'll be by your house later. I know where you live. Oh, I passed by Rob's house. Rob was in the army back when like they still had muskets and shit like that. Oh, he's a good buddy of mine, but oh God, he had muskets. But look, gents, I'm going to tell you, this is amazing. And I promise you, you get this thing together as far as for the release. I know you got everything else together. Don't get that twisted. On that release, you let me know. I'll show up with my handful of equipment that's staticky and everything else that goes along with it. And we will make sure that the four of us listening hears you. And understand, look, Rob, 1986. Look, Rob.
Sean, hey, let me just say this.
I was 10.
I really want to just point this out. Like, I will 100% take you up on that offer, but I also want to just let you know how much we appreciate that you give us this forum to talk about it right now. Yeah, I also, as a, you know, real talk, I'll just say very quickly, you, in only about 8 minutes, you did an incredible, installment about bases with Confederate names. I'm actually at Fort Bragg right now, and I really thank you for your words. I think it was an incredibly well-reasoned argument. I think someone who's got 20 years in the Marine Corps, right off the bat, what you say is going to have some gravitas and authority. And the fact that you said that and that was your position, I really appreciated it. You know, I think it's something that. Obviously, it's a contentious topic right now. Pat alluded earlier, like it changes who the president is by the minute. It's a very contentious time, but what the way you addressed that issue was incredibly responsible. It was incredibly persuasive. I appreciate your call to change the names of Confederate bases. And I will just say as a final thought about whiskey and what we're putting out there is that if done correctly, whiskey really is the way you bring people together. You get spirits, especially from a hometown. I'll tell you, like, when you're sipping on some aged single malt, which is what I look forward to doing with you in just about 6 months, it is very difficult to focus on the differences, because at the end of the day, we all love a little buzz brought to you by your hometown. So it means a lot that you're bringing us on. I appreciate your words on your
show. Thank you very much.
Pat,
yeah.
Which now we just got Jesse's final word. God, if I had known he was an O, I'd have picked on him so much more.
No, I spoke a lot.
Patrick, what's your final words? Give it to me, brother.
Thanks. Yeah, we're just really excited to be coming out with these spirits this coming year and being, you know, one of several people that are out there, you know, showcasing what New York has going on, you know, distillers in Hudson Valley and then also the Capital Region. And of course, we're specifically highlighting the town of New Scotland and the Helderbergs. And more importantly, what we've been working on to bring to market for almost 5 years. And we've been developing a long time. You know, when you're talking about doing this this event, I mean, this is what we kind of almost started doing many, many years ago. When Jesse and I were doing radio shows over the summer at RPI, we had a tribe of people that were hanging out, partying outside the studio, and then would follow us back and would have parties throughout the town, like kind of for us and after they've listened to the show. And this is almost a nod, you know, to that. And, you know, this is how cool would it have been if back then we also had our own spirits as well that we provided. So we're really looking forward to that. And, you know, from my point of view, if you live in the town of New Scotland or even that surrounding area, how cool is it that somebody's making spirits from grains grown in that town? I mean, for somebody like me who's really into craft spirits, beer, wine, and, you know, and liquor, I think it's awesome. So I hope everybody else kind of feels the same way. And over time, we're going to be bringing lots of different lines of spirits into the public.
Folks, go to New Scotland, 1tspirits.com, get yourself set up, get yourself a bottle, sit down, understand he's not a Marine, but we'll go ahead and accept him as one of our own. He is an O, but we'll take it. Patrick will save him one way or another. You know, this is a beautiful thing. Gents, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate your support, and I appreciate the fact that, you know what, you're bringing it from the hometown. That means a lot to me. As a homer, I always say if Baltimore had a badminton team, I'd vote for them. But for you guys to do this, I really appreciate it. A lot of love for you. Folks, make sure you hit that subscribe and like button for us. You got Twitter. It's at AboveTheBar4. Wait a sec. Before I even get into that, how do I find you other than this? You got a Twitter? Yeah, you got an Instagram? What is that?
Yeah, at New Scotland Spirits, either on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
I think it's at New Scott Spirits. Am I right? At New Scott
on Twitter. Everyone.
Just, fucking O's. You know, correct everyone.
Start off with Facebook and Instagram. We post a lot of stuff about articles that we write and blogs that we have. Jesse just wrote a scathing piece about a particular building in Albany. We can't even touch that topic right now. But these are the types of things you'll learn about. And of course, moving forward, you'll see the day-to-day actions that we're doing, but at New Scotland Spirits on Facebook or Instagram.
That's the Facebook or Instagram at New Scotland Spirits. Correct. Look, folks, if you enjoyed this, please. Facebook is the Above the Bar Podcast. You got Twitter at Above the Bar 4. You got Instagram, the Above
this
the Bar
Podcast.
This has been
an Earplug Podcast.
I even made a fucking TikTok.
Found on earplugpodcast.com, iTunes, SoundCloud,
but,
and
you got
wherever
TikTok
your favorite
there,
podcasts
same
are
name,
found.
The Above the Bar Podcast. Please, whatever you're listening to this one, hit that like, smash button, leave comments, leave 5 stars. It's always important to us because the higher you make it, the more people listen to it, the more people find out about the New Scotland guys. You know, that's how we all get more and more into this thing. You know, I'm your host, Sean, Jesse, Patrick. I thank you so much. And folks, be sure to push your stool in.